So this past week was Valentine's Day. I hope you had a good Valentine's Day. I used to hate Valentine's Day. Back when I was young and immature, the idea was if you had a girlfriend, you would break up with her in late January, and then you can get back together with her in late February, and you could just skip Valentine's Day. And so I think that I have matured a little bit since those days, and I view Valentine's Day a little bit differently now. So I hope that you had a good Valentine's Day. I hope that on Valentine's Day, you did something to strengthen your marriage. I hope that you did something to strengthen the relationships that you have with the people that you love. 2 weeks ago, Carrie and I were blessed to go on a His Shoes, Her Shoes seminar at sea. And basically what that means is we went on a cruise. And while we were on the cruise, we got 6 sessions of Wayne and Tammy's His Shoes, Her Shoes marriage seminar. And so coming back from the cruise, being inspired by the cruise, being inspired by the His Shoes, Her Shoes seminar, being inspired by Valentine's Day, I thought I would preach a message this evening about marriage. And I'm not going to say anything brilliant tonight. Just a simple reminder of what we ought to be doing in order to strengthen our marriages and strengthen the relationships we have with the people that we love. I want to begin tonight by asking you, do you know what the 3 most feared words in the English language are? The 3 scariest words in the English language. Now, it's not I love you. The 3 scariest words in the English language are some assembly required. Because if you buy something and it comes in a box and the box says some assembly required, you know you're in for a big mess. You know that you're not going to be able to put this thing together. When you open the box and look at all the pieces, even when you read the directions, you realize you need an engineering degree from MIT in order to put this thing together. The only problem is, I didn't go to MIT. I went to MIC. K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E. And that means I'm not going to be able to put this thing together. So on one occasion, Kinsey was about 3 years old, and Carrie calls me, Christmas is approaching, and she says, I'm at Hobby Lobby, and I'm looking at this dollhouse. Do you think that's a good idea for Kinsey for Christmas? I said, yes, buy the dollhouse. She buys the dollhouse from Hobby Lobby, brings it home. So one day, it's about a week before Christmas, Carrie and Kinsey are gone, and I have an hour to myself at home, and I think I'm going to put this dollhouse together so that it's ready to go for Christmas morning. I think it's going to take me about 30 minutes. It's a dollhouse. It's going to take me about 30 minutes. I open the box, I pull the pieces out, and I'm staring at hundreds of pieces. And I'm thinking, what is this? This isn't a dollhouse. I don't know what this is. And then I saw all these tiny little rectangle pieces of wood, hundreds of them. And I'm thinking, what are these tiny little rectangular pieces of wood? I didn't know what they were. I begin reading the directions, and it's just so overwhelming. I eventually figure out these tiny little rectangular pieces of wood are shingles. And I have to glue each individual shingle to the roof of the dollhouse. Not only that, the directions say, use a hot glue gun. And I've never heard of a hot glue gun. What is a hot glue gun? Where do I get a hot glue gun? How much does a hot glue gun cost? And how do you use a hot glue gun? These were all questions I had. So this 30-minute project turned into a 48-hour project. I went into the garage. I had to clear off a workspace in the garage. I set up shop, and I literally spent 4 days, about 12 hours a day, working on this dollhouse so that it would be ready for Christmas morning. And in fact, I spent so much time working on the dollhouse that Kinsey wrote me a note. And her note said, Dear Dad, I miss you. I wish you would come inside the house. Some assembly required. When it comes to marriage, some assembly is required. There are those who are young and in love, and they think that marriage is going to be easy. They think that they could just sail, breeze right through marriage. Because right now they're just breezing through their relationships. It's easy, it's natural, it's simple, no big deal. But then you get married and you realize some assembly is required. You get married and you realize that things come up that you've never even heard of before. What is this? How do I respond to this? What do I do? I don't know what to do. I don't have the tools, I don't have the knowledge, I don't have the experience to work through this situation. But the longer you're married and the more experience you gain, the better equipped you are to deal with situations that come up in marriage and in life in general. I now own a hot glue gun. I know how to use a hot glue gun, and I've used a hot glue gun on multiple projects since the dollhouse. And I hope that the same thing is true when it comes to marriage. That I've learned some things, I've gained some experience, I have some wisdom, I have a better perspective that I can deal with the circumstances that arise in life and in relationships and do a better job as a husband or as a father. Imagine this. Now, I'm going to talk about a sinking ship. I don't want you to think that that is a representation of marriage, okay? It's not. It just sets the scene, okay? But imagine the ship has sunk, and you and your spouse are now floating in the water in the middle of the ocean, but you have a life jacket on, okay? And you're next to one another. There you are floating in the ocean. The boat is gone. What do you want? I know one thing you want is you want to stay together. Okay? But if you're side by side and you're floating in the ocean, what is going to happen? Eventually, you're going to drift apart from each other. And if you do nothing about it, if you just allow yourself to float and drift, eventually you become so far separated from one another that you can't see each other anymore. And even if you try to get back together, it might be impossible for you to get back together and reconnect with the one that you love. And so the point is, in order for you to stay together, it's going to require some work. It's going to require some effort. So if you're floating in the water and you realize you're drifting apart, you need to start swimming back towards one another. You need to come back together. And when you reach each other, when you get back together, you need to hold on to one another. You need to cling to one another. This requires work. This requires effort. It's not something that you can just breeze through and expect to work out. But it does require work and it does require effort to stay together. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, "For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it." Now, in this context, he's talking about your salvation. He's saying that there is a danger as a Christian. The danger is that we could drift away from the truth of God's word. And we could drift so far away from the truth of God's word that we actually lose our salvation. And so he's saying we don't want to drift away. Now, the idea here is not a person who wakes up one morning and makes a conscious decision to reject God, to reject the church, to reject the Bible, and return to a life of sin. It's not a person who is making a conscious decision to reject salvation in Jesus. But it's a person who, through negligence, is simply drifting little by little further and further away from the truth of God's word, further and further away from Jesus, further and further away from the church, until eventually they're so far removed from the truth that they've lost their salvation. So how does this happen? Take a look at verse 3, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Verse 3 says, "How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" This happens because of neglect. It's just laziness. You become lazy, you become complacent, and you put no effort into your relationship with God, you put no effort into your spiritual well-being, and it's just through simple neglect that you eventually drift away from the truth of God's word. Imagine a boat that arrives at the dock, and you step out of the boat and you throw the rope up onto the dock, and you think that the boat is secure because you toss the rope up onto the dock and you walk away. But the rope wasn't really tied to anything. And throughout the night, the current moves the boat little by little, and so that in the morning when you come to find the boat's not there. The boat's gone. Where is the boat? I don't know. I can't see the boat. The boat is so far gone somewhere that we can't even locate the boat anymore. We don't know where it is. And that's what happens to some people spiritually. That's what happens to a person's relationship with God through simple neglect. Basically, it's just not putting in the effort necessary to maintain a relationship with God. So how can we prevent drifting away from the truth and losing your salvation? Take a look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, "For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it." Now, here you see the word must. We must. The word must means that this is absolutely essential. This is a requirement. This is not optional. This is something that must, absolutely essential, that we are doing this. If we want to maintain a relationship with God, if we want to be to remain in the body of Christ, then we must be doing this. What must we be doing? He says in verse 1, we must pay attention to. We need to pay attention to. In this case, he says, pay attention to what you have heard. In other words, you've heard the gospel of Jesus. We as Christians today, we have the inspired word of God in our hands. We have the Bible, and we've got to pay attention to the word of God. So what does it mean to pay attention to what you have heard? What does it mean to pay attention to the word of God? How do we pay attention to it? Well, obviously, we read it. We listen to it. We meditate upon it. We think about it. But he doesn't just say pay attention to. He says in verse 1, pay much closer attention to. What do the words much closer tell us? That our salvation is so important that it's not simply worthy of regular attention, but it's necessary that we give it extra special attention, much closer attention to. And so if you are paying much closer attention to the Word of God, what does that mean? If we are people who are not reading our Bibles at all because we're simply neglectful of our spiritual well-being, then we are in a process of drifting away from the truth and ultimately losing our salvation. So we must pay much closer attention to the Word of God. That means that this is a priority to us. Paying attention to the Word of God is a priority to us. And if it's a priority to us, we're going to invest in it. We're going to put effort into this so that we do not drift away. And so that might mean that we need to schedule a time to spend in God's Word. A lot of times, if you don't schedule something, you have good intentions to do something, but if you don't actually schedule it, it's not going to happen because our lives are so busy, our lives are so hectic, we're so exhausted, we're so tired, we're so worn out and run down that we're never going to get around to all the things we have good intentions of doing. It's only when we schedule it that we actually get it done. And so we need to schedule time to be in the Word of God. And that might mean that you wake up 30 minutes earlier than you normally do and spend time in the Word of God. That requires discipline. That requires a sacrifice. That requires a commitment. That requires effort. That requires purpose. That requires forethought. But isn't your salvation worthy of those things? It may mean that you stay up 30 minutes later at night so that you can spend time in the Word of God. It may mean that you turn the TV off so that you can spend time in the Word of God. But we're going to make an effort to spend time in the Word of God, to pay much closer attention to the things that we have heard so that we do not drift away. We need to read the Bible. But we need to do more than read the Bible. We need to actually learn how to study the Word of God, how to study the Bible. I know some of the ladies have done these Bible marking classes We need to learn how to do those things. So when you look at a book in the Bible, James has talked about this a little bit. You look through a book in the Bible, if there are words that are repeated over and over and over again, that should tell you something about the point of the passage. If you see a word that's repeated 6 times in 3 verses, highlight that word. Highlight that word so that it stands out from the page and it gives you an idea of what the author is talking about and what the point is. But we need to learn not just to read the Bible, but to actually study the Word of God and dig deep into the truth of God's Word and then meditate upon the Word of God. Not just read it and then walk away from it, but think about it throughout the day and let the Word of God dwell in your heart and dwell in your mind and mold us and shape us into the kind of people that God wants us to be. We need to allow the Bible to shape our world vision so that the way we view the world, the way that we view people, the way we interact with people is all governed by the truth of God's Word. So here are 3 passages that describe what it means to pay much closer attention to that which you have heard. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." He delights in the Word of God, and he meditates upon the Word of God day and night. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." There's diligence required. Some verses of the Bible say study to show yourself approved unto God. So there's diligence and study involved in this. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, we read about the Bereans. It says that these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. They were eager to receive the word of God. They were hungry for the word of God. But they also went home and studied the scriptures daily to verify that the things that they had heard were actually the truth of God's word. So they were a people who were investing in the word of God, who were paying much closer attention to the things that they had heard. Now, what does this have to do with marriage? If you will allow me to do this, I want to take these verses out of context and apply them to our marriages or to our relationships with the people that we love. Because the same principles apply in that way. So for example, take a look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. "For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it." What is the natural tendency that happens to people who are in a relationship? If you, by the way, verse 3, take a look at Hebrews 2, verse 3. "How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" If you neglect your spouse, if you neglect your marriage, and you're just coasting through life, the natural tendency is that you and your spouse will begin to drift away further and further apart from each other. And if you don't do something about it, eventually you will be so far separated from your spouse that you won't be able to get back together. And so we don't want that to happen. We don't want to drift away from our spouses. We want to stay connected. We want to stay dedicated and committed to one another. So what do we do to overcome this? Now, it's not that a person wakes up one morning, he's not, and consciously makes a decision, "I'm leaving my spouse." That's not what he's talking about here. He's just talking about someone who is just so busy with their job, someone who is just so busy with their hobbies, someone who is so busy with the children's activities, someone who is just preoccupied with the responsibilities of life, that they simply neglect the relationship with their spouse, and as a result, they're drifting apart and drifting away from one another. How do we prevent that from happening? In verse 1, he says, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. If you're thinking about this in the context of a marriage, we must pay much closer attention to our spouses. What does that mean? Just like when it comes to your salvation, just like when it comes to your relationship with Jesus or your relationship with the church, we need to schedule time to spend with our spouses. And we need to invest in that relationship. It's going to require sacrifice. It's going to require effort. It's going to require forethought. It's going to require us to plan ahead and to make provisions for that. It's going to require discipline in order for us to do this. But it's necessary. In order for us to have healthy, strong marriages and relationships, it's necessary. So there was a commercial that came out for Valentine's Day. Carrie, after I laughed really hard when I saw it, she told me, "You laugh at that commercial every year." And I thought, I've never even seen this commercial before. I thought it was the first time. But anyways, there's this couple sitting next to each other on the couch. And the man, he pulls out this red box. It's a long rectangular box. And he hands it to her. It's her Valentine's Day gift. And she opens the box and her eyes just sparkle with joy. They light up. And she says, "How did you know?" And he said, "I listened. I listened." And just that, the fact that he listened brought so much love into her heart. You could see it on her face. You could see it in her body language. "He loves me. How do I know?" He listened. He listened. And then they show you what's in the box. I thought it was like a fancy bracelet or something. They show you what's in the box. It's a red plastic spoon from Dairy Queen so that she can eat the ice cream cake that he got her for Valentine's Day. So that was the commercial. But I listened. You know, James mentioned this morning how many times you repeat yourself when you're talking to your kids. And he also mentioned how many times a wife repeats herself when she's talking to her husband. How wonderful would it be for you wives if your husband listened? If he just listened. If he paid much closer attention to. Gentlemen, we need to learn how to do this. How to pay much closer attention to our spouses. I know that I am drastically underdressed for a person who's preaching. But I did that on purpose, because I wanted you to see this shirt. I'm sure you've been reading it ever since I stood up here. The shirt says, "Let's run away together." The shirt actually, it comes from Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Now, the shirt says Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2. It's not chapter 1, verse 2. It's a mistake on the shirt. It's Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4. But it says, "Let's run away together." So when you see this phrase, "Let's run away together," what comes to your mind? Don't answer it out loud, but just think about it. What comes to your mind? Because I'll tell you what comes to my mind. I get the liberty of answering it out loud. What comes to my mind when I think of the phrase, "Let's run away together," is two teenagers who are about to do something very foolish, very irresponsible, because they have a naive concept of love. That's what comes to my mind. But maybe what our marriages need, what our relationships need, is for us to do this very thing. Maybe what our marriages need is for us to run away together. Now, I'm not talking about being irresponsible. I'm not talking about being foolish. I'm not talking about being naive. I'm not talking about neglecting other responsibilities that we have in life. But I'm talking about making this a commitment in our relationship. We need to find time to run away together. Husbands and wives need time to run away together. So maybe that is sharing a cup of coffee with each other in the morning. And for that 15 minutes, when you're sharing a cup of coffee, the rest of the world doesn't matter. Your other responsibilities that you have, they're not important, because you are running away together. Maybe it means you meet for lunch on a Friday afternoon, and you get together and you spend time with your spouse having lunch on a Friday afternoon. Maybe it means simply sitting next to each other on the couch and watching TV together. And you might say, "But yeah, but you're not talking, you're not communicating." Well, what if you're sitting next to each other and you're holding hands while you watch something on TV? Does that count as something? I think that counts as something. You know, spending time with each other, investing in one another, this is something that we need to be doing. if we want to have strong relationships with our spouses. I'm sure you're familiar with the song Cats in the Cradle. Silver Spoon, Little Boy Blue, and The Man in the Moon. That's a song about a father and his son. The son is young. The son wants to play with his dad, do this with him. The dad doesn't have time for his son. I have responsibilities. I've got things I need to do. These things are important. And so he neglects his son because he's taking care of the things that are important to him. But then the son grows up and becomes a man, and the dad grows up and becomes an old man. And now the dad suddenly wants to spend time with the son, but the son, who is now a man, is just like his dad, and he's got responsibilities, and he's got things he needs to do, and he says, "Dad, I'm sorry, I don't have the time right now, because I got these important things I need to do." And so you have this father and son who their whole life missed out on a wonderful relationship because they were investing in other things. Let that not be true of our marriages. Let that not be true of the relationship we have with our spouse, that we are so busy taking care of important responsibilities that we have that we neglect the second most important relationship in our lives and drift away from each other and lose contact with one another. I say the second most important relationship in our lives because the first most important relationship we have is our relationship with God. That is the number one relationship. But apart from that relationship, there is nothing else in this world that is more important or more significant than our relationship with our spouse. That relationship takes priority, even over the responsibilities we have to our children. Now, also, let that song not be true about our relationship with our kids. Okay, let us invest in our kids. These are people that we love also. And these principles apply to any relationship with any person that we love. We need to invest in that, schedule it, make time for it, because these are the things that matter in life. As I preach this sermon tonight, I feel like a hypocrite. I'm speaking to myself because I feel like I have done a terrible job with this, trying to be a good husband and a good father and investing in the relationships that matter. And I need this message as much as anybody else, because there is nothing other than my relationship with God more important and more significant than my relationship with Carrie and with my children. And let this just be something to help motivate us and encourage us and remind us of what is important. So at this time, let us stand and we'll sing an invitation song.